Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Just 2 weeks from today, the nation's attention will be on Iowa, just a few days before the first in the nation caucuses there. And what a week it has been in presidential politics, both for Republicans and Democrats.
Here and now,
2016.
I feel like they're right in the room with us. Anyway, so with that salute, let's take a look with Kay Henderson, News Director of Radio Iowa. Hi, Kay.
Hello.
And Greg Moore, editor of the Denver Post. Welcome to you, Greg, as well.
Thank you.
And let's go right to last night's debate. Kay, start us off. Who won, who lost?
Well, Donald Trump was here in Des Moines today, and he has declared himself the winner, and he has declared that there are some losers. He's also commenting about his conversation, if you will, with Ted Cruz, talking with people in the Trump crowd before the sun came up while the temperature was about 11 degrees outside. They were really energized by the Trump performance.
Right.
And interestingly enough, a lot of the people waiting to see Donald Trump this morning have never caucused before. They've never participated in the Iowa caucuses. So maybe the Trump effect is working and bringing out new people to the caucuses.
Well, hold up, Greg, there for a second, because she mentioned the smackdown with Ted Cruz over Ted Cruz saying that Donald Trump had New York values, sort of this winking, nodding, you know, we all know what that means. And and then Trump had this remarkable, I mean, sort of a comeback, because he wasn't doing that well last night, when he said, yeah, I do. And he talked about 9/11. Let's listen.
New York is a great place. It's got great people. It's got loving people, wonderful people. When the World Trade Center came down, I saw something that no place on earth could have handled more beautifully, more humanely than New York. You had two 100.
So Greg Moore, this is not a Trump we're used to, the bombastic Trump. Did that change the tide?
I think it changed some momentum. I think that was his you're no Jack Kennedy moment, okay? And you know, it really helped him seem more presidential, but overall, I thought that argument between Cruz and Trump went on too long and probably hurt them a little bit until that moment. I thought that was a bit of a staggering punch delivered by Trump.
So, Kay, as I was watching this debate last night, I was thinking they are playing more to Iowa right now than they are to New Hampshire. They're playing more to the conservative base than they are to the, I guess, more moderate Republicans that they'd find in New Hampshire. Who else did well last night, do you think, from the perspective of Iowa voters?
Well, I think Governor Christie scored some points in his conversation with Marco Rubio, but Rubio also shined in the eyes of people who are energized about his candidacy here on the ground. There was a watch party, and they were wildly ecstatic about the way he was inserting himself, his quip about, you know, let's pause this court TV moment went over really well.
Well, let's listen to that exchange. Here we go.
Plus, we're going to raise the income tax to 30%. Now you got Europe.
I'd like to interrupt this debate on the floor of the Senate to actually answer the question you asked, which was on entitlements. Do you remember that, everybody? This was a question on entitlements.
Oh, I'll answer
the reason, now you already had your chance. Marky, you blew it.
Okay, that was a different exchange, actually. There were a few of them. Greg, your thoughts on how those two.
One thing about Rubio that I find interesting is while the other Republicans are spending their time hammering away at Hillary Clinton, he's hammering away at Obama. And I think part of the reason for that is because his profile in some ways is similar to Obama's. He's articulate, he's young, he's been in the Senate for a short period of time. So he's trying to say, hey, while our profile may look similar in some ways, I'm very different from him, and here's how.
Well, he's also got to fight all those photos that have been flying around of him, you know, practically hugging President Obama post-Sandy. I mean, Kay, isn't that right? He's really been painted that way.
Chris Christie.
You're talking about Christie?
Christie, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris Christie has a hurdle to get over, and he may be getting over it in Iowa. In Iowa, he has hired as his on-the-ground people here, the people who managed Terry Branstad's successful gubernatorial campaigns in 2010 and 2014. He is benefiting from the fact that Ted Cruz is getting flack over the ethanol issue here. And he is a terrific campaigner in town hall meetings, and he has scheduled several 2 weeks ago. He'll be back. He'll be having more of those this weekend. And I think that's interesting that he's coming here and putting his flag in the ground, whereas Ted Cruz is going to be spending the next week in New Hampshire and letting people like Donald Trump, who was here today, he'll be back on Monday, have sort of at the Iowa caucus goers' ear.
So this is the first time I think this has happened in the entire history of us doing these weekly 2016 segments, that here we are halfway through and I'm going to turn already to the Democrats, because now we actually have what looks like a real race going on in the Democratic side with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders really close in both Iowa and New Hampshire, where Bernie Sanders is ahead. Let's listen here, because Hillary Clinton was not happy about this, I'm sure, when Vice President Joe Biden said this about the problems facing workers on CNN.
If you contributed to the profitability of an enterprise, you got to share in the profit. That's been broken. Productivity's up. Wages are
stagnant. But Hillary's talking about that as
well. Well, it's relatively new for Hillary to talk about that.
Greg, what do you think about the race that's developing on the Democratic side?
Well, certainly Joe Biden is not doing Hillary any favors, right. but Bernie is hanging in there, and it's because he's talking about economics, stupid. He's talking about paychecks. He's talking about wallet issues.
Student loans and things of that nature
that parents and working families are worried about. It's not about whether he's a socialist or anything else. He's speaking to the economic interest of people that have been distressed for half a decade. So he's hanging in there, and we've seen this before in Iowa with Hillary. So this is a crucial test for her with the caucuses, and the fact that it's close is interesting at this point.
Well, they're taking each other on is nothing compared to the world wrestling that we saw last night. But they are, going at each other. Let's listen to a little. On MSNBC this week, Bernie Sanders hit back at Hillary Clinton for her saying that he voted against gun control measures.
To say that I'm kind of a supporter of the NRA is really a mean-spirited and unfair and inaccurate statement.
And then in Iowa, she criticized his plan for government-run universal health care.
I don't believe, number one, we should be starting over. We had enough of a fight just to get to the Affordable Care Act, so I don't want to rip it up and start over. But I sure don't want to turn over health care to Republican governors, for heaven's sakes. I don't think that is a good deal for America. I think it's a risky deal.
And Kay Henderson, Hillary Clinton sounded like she was out there in the country in Iowa.
She's developing a little bit of a southern twang.
Yes, she is.
Lived in Arkansas. But what's your take on how this is sharpening as it moves to Iowa?
This is a fingernail biter for the Clinton people. They think they have a good ground game. I've gone to a couple of the call centers that they're running, and I was struck last week by the fact that middle-aged white women were coming in and volunteering to make phone calls for the very first time for Secretary Clinton. Last night, I dropped by a Bernie Sanders headquarters where they were making telephone calls for the candidate, and I chatted with a woman who had supported Barack Obama in 2008. And she can't get over what Clinton said about Obama in 2008, and that's why she's supporting Bernie Sanders. So it's shaping up to be a really interesting race on the ground here in Iowa. Mm.
Greg, who are we not talking about that we should be in of all the candidates?
I personally think the governor of Ohio. I mean, he seems like a true grown-up in the room. John Kasich. He has the experience in how do you develop policy, how you bring people together to implement policy. He has a track record in Congress and in the big industrial state. And the fact that he's still on the stage at this point, I think, lends some credence that, he could still turn out to be a player here. So
I saw a tweet, though, last night from Chris Matthews, the host of Hardball on MSNBC, who said that he thought that John Kasich was running for vice president right now.
He might well be. You know, Ohio is a big state. I mean, you know, I've heard people talk about a Kasich-Rubio combination would be just devastating for Democrats. Who knows?
Hey, and Kate, just one quick last question with you as we head towards Iowa. Lots been written about Donald Trump not having the ground game there. We all know you have to knock on doors and you have to get people to caucus, to come to a room and scribble on a paper and move around like a square dance and sit in chairs.
On the Democratic side.
Yeah, well, to do all sorts of things to vote. And suddenly people are saying, wait a second, he has, you know, people like a 9/11 truther volunteering for him in Iowa. Do you think that's fair, that people saying he doesn't have the ground game?
The people he has running his campaign helped Rick Santorum get over the finish line in first place in 2012. He doesn't have a huge campaign staff on the ground, and it is easier to be a Republican caucus goer in Iowa. You essentially have a secret ballot. They'll give you a piece of paper, you'll mark Donald Trump on it, and you can leave the room.
Well, keep some hot chocolate warm for Robin, Kay, because she will be in Iowa in just a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
We'll be broadcasting from there and the rest of the big primary states coming up. Kay Henderson, news director of Radio Iowa, and Greg Moore, editor of the Denver Post. Thanks so much to both of you.
Oh, wait. We're going to go out and hear just a little bit of three little girls doing a cheerleading routine during Donald Trump's rally, and we say goodbye on this.